this question here. We've got a 32-year-old man who has excruciating chest pain radiating to his back on a background of cocaine and hypertension. So he's also got a 3-on-6 whole diastolic murmur down the left sternal border. So this is classic for aortic dissection, okay, especially the chest pain and hypertension being the biggest risk factor. Cocaine causes hypertension. And the 3-on-6 holodiastolic murmur is, in fact, aortic regurg. But you might say, I don't get it. Like, why isn't that the answer then? Like, for choice A, it's because it's not the most upstream diagnosis. It's not the primary diagnosis. It's merely secondary to the aortic dissection. So when we have that dissection where the blood tears through the intima of the aortic arch into the media, it can propagate retrograde or anterograde. If it goes retrograde back to the heart, we can get aortic root dilatation, aortic regurgitation, can even cause a hemopericardium. And likewise, it can go anterograde, even as far down as the iliac bifurcation. So this is classic for dissecting aneurysm. And once again, pain radiating to the back. And if we had, let's say, an abdominal aortic aneurysm that were rupturing in a different vignette, we would have pain radiating to the lumbar area. So this case, in this case, in this vignette, it's just between the scapulae. It also says in the vignette here that the pulse is impalpable. So it's classic for thoracic aortic dissection to have a difference in blood pressure, a discrepancy in blood pressure between the right and the left arm. And that's because you've got the left subclavian, which will feed the left arm. That's on the distal part of the aortic arch, but you've got the brachiocephalic on the proximal part of the arch, and that's ultimately going to go to the right arm via the right subclavian. And when you have the dissection between the brachiocephalic and the left subclavian, that can cause a disruption of the blood flow. That explains why it's classic for questions for them to say there's a difference in blood pressure between the limbs. And in this case, they just happen to say the left radial pulse is impalpable. The diffuse crackles heard in the lungs, fairly nonspecific. I've seen questions where they say that there's a pleural effusion. I've seen questions where they say crackles such as this. I also want to make note, this blood pressure is 154 on 50. Once again, we said hypertension, most common risk factor for aortic dissection, but notice the diastolic is very low. So we have a big pulse pressure here. That's just because we have a rupturing dissection. So there's blood actually leaving the aorta quickly. So you have that hard systolic impulse giving us that big systolic pressure. But then the blood is quickly leaving the aorta during diastole, which is why the pressure falls. So there's a big pulse pressure here. And this is also seen in aortic regurgitation, even independent of this rupturing dissection, where in pure aortic regurg questions, they'll give you a wide pulse pressure, a big difference between the systolic and diastolic pressure. So this guy would need labetalol right away, beta blocker, but particularly labetalol. They really like that in NBME questions, particularly 2CK, decreases shearing forces on the arch. Okay, so even if the guy has low blood pressure, like even if they were to give you a rupturing dissection where his blood pressure is 80 on 40, the next best step is labetalol for treatment. And you're like, that's weird. Like, really? Yep. So, as I said, it decreases shearing forces. And nitroprusside would be the wrong answer. So, for ascending aortic aneurysms, you need to do surgery plus labetalol. For descending aortic aneurysms, you're going to do just labetalol. Looking at some of the other answers here. Infective mycotic aneurysm. It's just a distractor. Mycosis or I should say mycology is the study of fungi, but infective aneurysms actually are most often bacterial despite the name. So very, very rare, but it's when you have an infection of the wall of the aorta and it causes a dilatation and an aneurysm. Once again, just a distractor here, a very rare diagnosis. When you're not sure what's going on, you tend to look at weird diagnoses. So, saccular aneurysm, choice D, that's just another name for Barry aneurysm of the circle of Willis. That would cause subarachnoid hemorrhage, worst headache of someone's life, You could get nuchal rigidity, similar to in meningitis due to inflammation of the meninges. Hypertension is also the most common cause for saccular aneurysms. Saccular aneurysms can be caused by connective tissue disorder like Ehlers-Danlos, and they're also associated with autosomal dominant polycystic kidney disease, which on that note, I should also mention, just going back for the dissecting aneurysm, although I mentioned hypertension as the most common cause, there is increased risk in Marfan syndrome and Ehlers-Danlos. And there's also some rare familial conditions, one in particular called familial thoracic aortic aneurysm with an MYH11 mutation. USMLE won't assess that, don't worry. I just say that for kicks. But you do need to know hypertension, cocaine, and Marfan syndrome and Ehlers-Danlos for dissecting aneurysm on the USMLE. And then syphilitic aortitis, just a distractor here. I had mentioned that this guy, promiscuous, doesn't use condoms. He was treated for an oral antibiotic last year for a genital infection. I mean, we can speculate all we want that maybe it was syphilis. I mean, and by all means, if he was treated, that's okay, right? I mean, we don't have a history in the vignette where he had a canker however long ago and wasn't treated. I mean, that's a different situation altogether. Or if they had told you that he had a palms and soles rash, body rash reflective of secondary syphilis however many months ago. So they could give us more prompts in the direction of syphilis if they wanted that as the diagnosis. But once again, just a distractor here. That's it.